This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan along with Sierra Doctor. We begin with Harvest Hotline brought to you by Pivot Bio, the North Dakota Mill, Amity Technology, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. In northwestern North Dakota, Dakota Agronomy Partners, Mohall location agronomy sales representative Jenna Whalen says most of the small grains have been harvested.
The canola's pretty much done. Most guys are kind of working through their beans now, and I think we're kind of more towards the end of that. So basically just a little bit of beans and some corn and sunflower is left.
And Whalen says most yields have been good.
Ours was actually pretty decent. We had a pretty significant storm moved through here the end of July, so some of that was hit pretty hard with hail, and some of it was, you know, obviously not great. But otherwise, I think everybody was pretty happy with small grains, and the canola was running pretty well in a lot of areas. I think beans were pretty average, I would say. So overall, I think we're shaping up pretty good here.
CHS Country Operations Key Agronomy Specialist John Stabler expects rapid harvest progress this week.
Well, the Herman Group would be like Hoffman, Chicago, you know, that central Minnesota area. So that group is really rolling corn, somewhat underwhelming corn yields, better than expected soybean yields. As you go towards this, you know, south of Fargo area, they've been rolling on corn for about 7 to 10 days. Having above expectation soybean yields and corn yields. But yeah, it's kind of just, I think this week's going to be across the entire territory I cover, going to be really wild corn harvest.
Logistical challenges could slow harvest a bit.
Some issues with trains at this point is what I've heard in some areas. So that might slow corn harvest a little bit. And as you see the highs, though this week looks a little bit above average warm, but I'm sure guys will be doing a lot of fertilizer this week too, trying to get that done before it gets real cold.
Areas of South Dakota have struggled with moisture this year. Valley Springs, South Dakota's rancher Jordan Scott says they've been fortunate to have steady rains through July and August.
We got our beans done about a week ago, and now we're into corn, so we're probably half done with our corn harvest. Our area got a lot of rain in August and later, so our corn is really good. I know a lot of places around are not so good, but ours is looking excellent. We're getting near 220, 230.
And Scott's soybeans have been about average.
Yeah, our beans averaged 71 bushel an acre, which is about average for our area, but a lot better than a lot of the numbers I've heard. So we're pretty happy. Weather's been pretty good. It's been windy all week, but that's pretty typical. And the temperature's been pretty good. It's starting to get a little cold this week, but that's to be expected. It's been nice.
Salem, South Dakota farmer Don Shire grows primarily corn and soybeans. Shire finished up soybeans and is working on corn, but weather has been working against her.
You know, as yield-wise, I think everybody was really disappointed. What happened for us, we got hit by a derecho, so we had to do replant. Because of the replant, and beans looked great. We thought we were going to get a great crop, and the rain just kind of quit. So you went out there hoping it was better, but as you started combining and figuring out your averages, they were below average.
After the mid-May derecho, Shire was forced to replant nearly all of her soybeans. Moisture has been hard to come by as well.
That was the tough part because we have no bean bends. So I'm trying to replant. I mean, get these bends built, it's been a struggle. Yeah, and we do a higher number of beans, and it ran out. The beans they got down to 7% moisture. The beans just totally ran out of moisture. So basically our replant we had to replant all the fields but one. Basically after we had to clean up our fields because there were a lot of debris in the fields. We found a lot of debris combining too. So it was after May 15th. first when we did our replant.
Farmers in the Warroad, Minnesota area had to deal with snow and rain last week, but Drew Parsley says they've had a good harvest run.
Well, not too bad. Luckily, most of our ground is drain tiled, and it seems like that ground is kind of ready to go once the slime kind of dries off the top, and the grain will dry down here with some sun and wind. And I think we got close to 2 to 3 inches of snow that melted pretty much the same day, but then it got pretty sloppy and wet, and we got another half an inch of actual rain above that. So it's going to take a couple more days here to dry down, and then I think we're going to be good.
Parsley says, in general, it's been a good year.
Like I said earlier, the late spring was a little bit nerve-wracking for everybody. We had good prices, and everybody wanted to get out in the fields and make things happen. And in general, I think we're going to end up having one of our better years overall across every acre, across every crop. So when things start out a little slow and they end strong, it's a win-win for us.
In central Indiana, the soybean harvest is nearly done, and the corn harvest is just getting underway. Brad Donning, who farms at Greentown, Indiana, says the growing season started very wet.
Crop was planted a solid 3 weeks later than usual. And it was pretty, it was planted in some wetter, cooler conditions, but then we went into June, where we went 5 weeks through, 4 weeks of June, and the first week of July, no rain at all. Extremely dry conditions, followed up by July and August, tremendous rainfall, really good growing conditions, heat, everything good. Then by the end of August and September, we went back to no rain at all. So, you know, beans had a pretty rough life early on and late, and beans turned out to be, for the most part, I think you're going to see the central part of Indiana be in the 60s, maybe the high 60s, low 70s in some areas as averages.
And that's Harvest Hotline, presented by Ag Country, Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, the North Dakota Mill, and Pivot Bio. For more information on the Red River Farm Network, visit Facebook and Twitter. You can also find stories, podcasts, and more at RRFN. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Grain markets continue to trade mixed here this morning. Lowen and Associates market analyst Matt Hines says corn and soybeans started the day mixed.
You know, biggest news over the weekend, a little bit of shift in the weather, that's for sure. Some freezing temps here down in the southern plains. Did have some continued rounds of drone and missile strikes in Ukraine, specifically the capital of Kiev again. That's increased attention, that's for sure. I think, you know, here moving forward, it's, you know, how fast are we going to progress through fall harvest, and can we get some moisture to get wheat up?
And with the corn market lower, the livestock market's trying to rebound.
You know, we started out pretty steady on the cattle side. We're now pushing $1 to $2 higher, actually. You know, a little odd to see that big a jump with corn only down a nickel, but see if we can, you know, get a little bit of rebound. Feeders have been under pressure here for really the past couple months. Live cattle, though, you know, October is pushing up against and might even have hit a new contract high here today. Have had some steady to higher cash fed cattle trade the past couple weeks. You know, we're up again another dollar here in the south at 145 live last week.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending October 13th shows corn inspections of 448,000 metric tons. That's 2% less than the previous week and 57% less than the same week last year. Soybean inspections of 1.9 million metric tons are 93% more than the previous week, but 23% less than the same week a year ago. Wheat export inspections of 232,000 tons are down 62% from the previous week, but are 63% more than the same week last year. For the marketing year, corn inspections are 21% less than the year-ago pace. Soybean export inspections are running 23% behind last year pace, and wheat inspections are running slightly ahead of last year's export pace.
AgMarket.net market analyst Jacob Burke says the grains are pretty much trading headlines.
You come in this morning, you look at a couple different things going on, mostly overseas. The Russia-Ukrainian situation, you know, this is the second week in a row we had some major changes, major news. You see the wheat corridor, you know, coming out of that area is just, you know, basically fearful that we're not going to get anything out of there. With the new drone bombings that we saw hitting the soy oil facility there, You know, the beans have kind of traded that headline a little bit this morning, and we're starting to see that kind of back off a little bit. So, yeah, it's macro. It's global news that's affecting us here today.
And Burke says the cattle market trying to take advantage of that lower corn market.
We had a direct inverse relationship with the corn here, pretty tight here for the last 2 weeks. The corn down, we see the feeder cattle coming up, but today's taking a little extra step. So we've got a little bit of technical support along with watching the corn go down. So we're feeder cattle are up $2 here in January and March. So I would say that the live cattle are lacking these cheaper grains.
Oklahoma State University Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist Daryl Peel says the Southern Plains cattle market is losing momentum.
Well, you know, we would normally expect some seasonal pressure in the fall, but I really think this is less of that. There's probably some of that in there, but there's a number of unique things about this fall. One is the fact that we've had very large feeder cattle runs all summer, and that's continuing so far this fall. We're actually a little ahead of the normal seasonal pressure would be about another month from now. So I think part of it is a little bit early timing on that. Another part of it is the fact that because of the drought, we have almost no chance for wheat pasture this year. So there's a little less demand for stocker cattle. That's probably weakening things a bit.
And the extreme drought conditions are making market decisions tougher with so many cattle flooding the marketplace.
Well, as I said, we have another month or so where we, quote, see our biggest fall runs. However, we sort of expect that to back off a little bit because we've already moved a lot of these cattle. So, that may actually help us a little bit. The wheat pasture prospects are not going to get better, I don't think. So, there's a balance there between supply and demand. But I think all of that says we probably don't see as much pressure going forward.
Recent farmland sale in Iowa set a new record for the Corn Belt. In Plymouth County, Iowa, farmland sold for $26,250 per acre. Sale included 55 acres of high-quality farmland, which put the total bill at $1.44 million. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Farmers Business Network released their first fertilizer transparency report. Farmers Business Network Chief Economist Kevin McNew says the report focused on fertilizer prices, application rates, and how fertilizer is affecting acreage intentions.
We see a lot of variability, not surprising, in nitrogen-based fertilizer, whether it's anhydrous, urea, UAN, farmer to farmer, we see a lot of variability in what farmers are getting quoted. And that just goes to show how it's such a volatile market. So we found twice as much variability in kind of nitrogen-based fertilizer versus, say, potash-based fertilizer. The other kind of key takeaway, I think, is that, that farmers are really kind of going to be switching up some of their crops for next year because of some of this.
McNew says according to the survey and test results, fertilizer application rates will remain relatively steady.
So we see quite a bit more interest in wheat across the country. Upper Midwest, Northern Plains farmers are going to come back hard with corn in 2023, and I think that's more a reflection of the challenging spring they had last year as a result of the heavy rains and moisture. So we do see some crop rotations being adjusted as a result of these high fertilizer prices, but by and large, farmers are keeping those fertilizer application rates about the same.
And checking markets before we leave you this afternoon, we're higher across the board in the wheat. Corn's trading lower, soybeans a little bit higher. December wheat in Minneapolis, 3.25 higher at 957.5. March up 2.5. Chicago December wheat, 3.5 higher at 863.25. Kansas City December wheat, 3.75 higher at 956. December corn is down 5.75 cents at 683.75. March down 6 cents at 690.25. November soybeans are 3.5 higher at 1387.25. March, 1.25 higher, 1402.25. November canola is down $6.80 a metric ton, 855.50 Canadian. December live cattle, $1.52 higher, 149.30. November feeder cattle, $1.65 higher, 176.42. And December lean hogs, $2.60 higher at 84.85. Well, thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.